Hi, welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. And for the second hour of today's show, I'm bringing you an interview with Anthony Hall, who is a senior reporting radiographer. Now, Anthony Hall came on our show just over a year ago to talk about his concerns about body scanners, which had recently been introduced in Manchester, where he works and lives. And we had a really interesting discussion at that time. And of course, they were at that time trialing body scanners in Manchester. And since then, of course, a lot has happened. A lot of water's gone under the bridge. Studies have been released. And the mainstream media has given the impression to the general public that all the concerns about the health effects of X-ray body scanners have now been allayed. And the most recent, of course, is the report from the European Commission, which I kind of stumbled through last week as I tried to point out what I saw as its shortcomings. Now, of course, Anthony is extremely well positioned to give us a very informed opinion about that report. And he holds a bachelor's degree with honours in diagnostic radiography, and he's responsible for the imaging of patients and the production of medical reports. And he's also a supervisor who ensures that the equipment there is working within safe limits at the hospital where he works. So, Anthony, it is great to have you on board. I'm really pleased to be able to talk to you again today.
Well, thank you for having us back. Thank you.
Yeah, no, it's a great pleasure. Now, Anthony, as I was saying, I went through the report last week, and you know, basically, I'm not a technical person. You know, I don't have the knowledge to say, well, this or that is wrong, or this or that is incomplete. But my my reading of this report, which is released by the European Commission, and it's titled "The Scientific Committee on Emerging and Newly Identified Health Risks." That's the name of the body that did the report. And the title of the report is Health Effects of Security Scanners for Passenger Screening. I found the report didn't really give me a sense that they had actually gone into the hardware and looked at what the machines actually do and tested them in a rigorous way with a reproducible methodology. It seemed to me that the report was giving us information which was sort of prepackaged, which maybe had been supplied to them, similar to the previous reports that were done from the manufacturer. And that was my take on it. And of course, you know, there are a lot of other issues that have come up over the last year about body scanners, which we want to get into as well. But initially, can you give me your overview and your opinion on the quality of this report from the European Commission?
Yeah, certainly the quality report, like you say, to me, yeah, it just seems that they've been given a lot of data in relation to what these machines are capable of in terms of radiation dose and things like that, and then just evaluated that. They've not actually been given a machine as such to say, right, off you go, test it to its full capabilities and kind of tell us what you think, tell us what could go wrong with this machine and things like that. They've just literally been given a set load of figures to say, well, this is our findings. Can you report back on our findings?
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, of course, this the criticism of the previous reports that were released from the Johns Hopkins University were just that. In fact, I've got a letter here that was written by Professor J.W. Sedat and a number of other experts from the University of California. And, I mean, I can just read through here some of the criticisms that they made of the previous reports. And one of them that was the most really stood out was the fact that the researchers were never given access to a body scanner. They were actually given, it says here, they were invited to the manufacturing site to observe a mock-up of components that were said to be similar to those that are parts of the Rapiscan system. And the tests were performed by the manufacturer using the manufacturer's test procedures. I mean, do you think that we are, with this European Commission report, really looking at the same type of approach?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we're looking at the exact same type of approach. The manufacturer of these body scanners are quite protective over the actual components of the body scanners themselves, and my idea of a independent review of the technology would be for an independent body to get hold of one of the scanners and actually take it apart and fully rigorously test it. And it's not something that they've done, or it's all of being given is just a set of data that's been produced by the company who makes them.
It's extremely disappointing, isn't it? You know, and one of the things that I find most disturbing about the way this information has come out to the general public is the way it was presented in The Guardian. Because one of the, well, The Guardian was just one news source that reported on it. But they were all very similar in that they said, I think The Guardian article said, body scanners are here to stay. And the thrust of the article was, this report has now basically quashed all concerns about body scanners. And because of that, we can now expect body scanners to be rolled out across all the airports in Europe. I mean, I don't understand how The Guardian can take it upon itself to decide what the policies of all the countries in the EU are. What do you make of that?
Certainly. All the media, like within England as well, was doing the same. It was publishing headlines like body scanners are deemed to be ultra safe, and body scanners, X-ray back scanners are going to be rolled out across the whole of Europe and all the major international UK airports. And when you read it, even when you read the report that's been released by the scientific committee, it never ever says that body scanners are safe. It doesn't use that terminology. So for the press to get hold of that singular word, that word safe, and use it to say that these scanners produce absolutely, that would mean that they produce absolutely zero risk and they are zero harm to the individual, is just absolutely misleading. And that word should never ever be used within the realms of these scanners.
Absolutely. And in this report, in the European Commission report, it does acknowledge that there is no safe level of X-ray exposure. And I was wondering if you could actually, explain that in for the layperson in terms of why there really is no such thing as a safe X-ray.
Yeah. Basically, in the terms of X-ray, you have effects which are deterministic. And that is health effects or biological effects that occur at a particular level. So say the level is the number one. If you get a radiation level of one, then this and this will happen. We know that. Any radiation level that falls under one then fall under something called stochastic effects.
Right.
And those effects are basically where there's no threshold dose, because there's no model that can actually quantify the risks that will occur at this radiation level. Now, those stochastic effects are the effects that we will see happen or could potentially happen as a result of these X-ray backscatter scanners.
Right, stochastic effects, meaning that these are, they're not deterministic. We don't know for sure they're going to happen. There's a sort of probability level there that they will happen. I mean, of course, when that is reported and when we get the official view on it, it says, well, the probability is so low that we really don't have to worry because the risk is below anything that would be considered significant.
Yeah, that is true in terms of individual risk. If you take a chest X-ray example, the risk of cancer as a result of a chest X-ray is one in every, say, 2 to 3 million. So that would be cast as a stochastic effect. With these body scanners, you're talking about the massive radiation of the population. So while individual risk might be low, if you think 800 million people flew within the US alone last year,
yes,
and their own health protection authority here have said that out of 1 out of every 100 million will contract a fatal cancer. If you just take that figure alone, then you're talking about 8 new cancers caused as a result. Now, if you take the population as a whole, as in the 800 million, yes, your risk is very, very low. Very low indeed. I would gladly take them odds, but it's still 8 too many when the risk, when it can be actually 0 fatal cancers have been caused by this technology because it's not being allowed to be rolled out. That's the way I see it.
Of course. But of course, the technology of X-rays, of course, is a inherently dangerous one. And when we take a machine that is normally used in the context of a hospital that has highly trained people, medically trained people, and is carefully managed, and from what I've read, the machines are checked every day and calibrated, you put that into an airport scenario where, as you say, millions of people are going through the machines and they're being maintained by people who often really don't have much more than a high school degree. There's another level of risk there, isn't there? On top of the risk that would be the standard risk if everything was done properly with absolutely rigorous procedures as are done in a modern professional hospital. But I actually want to read through some of the concerns again that were raised in this letter from J.W. Sadat et al. And I'll just read through a few of them because they are quite stunning when you consider them. One being that the public has not been provided with the information regarding the beam intensity under operational conditions at airports. That's one concern.
Yeah.
Another concern is how do we know if there is a region of interest when intensity for better resolution is increased or changed? Can the intensity of the beam on different machines be changed, for example? Thus, how rigorously are the values of intensity or beam current maintained or dialed up or down to adapt to particularly suspicious objects? And, you know, the professionals who looked at that report couldn't figure out how they might be doing that. How can one be confident that the scanners are in a known configuration and not continually changed with different X-ray doses? And, you know, these are all issues of maintenance and correct function.
Okay.
Let's have a look at those. Let's consider those points there that I've raised.
Yeah. In relation to sort of like the beam intensity and things like that, we know that they use low beam intensities. They use roughly around about the 40 to 50 kilovoltage range, which is considered low. In medical exposures, we wouldn't technically use any less than 60 to penetrate through, but they are using...
Anthony, we're just going to break, so we'll continue with that straight after the break. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. Stay with us. This is a really important show. Hi, welcome back with Truth News Radio Australia. It's great to have your company today. I'm talking to Anthony Hall, a senior reporting radiographer, and we are getting into and deconstructing the myths about body scanners and their purported safety. Now, Anthony, you were previously just explaining there some points about the beam intensity of the X-ray backscatter scanner. I'll just let you continue there from where you left off.
Yeah, in relation to the beam intensity, it's very grey, the area where the seer, how intense the beam is or how it's managed. And indeed, they don't give us details of how the technology works. They just say that their beam intensity only penetrates approximately 1 centimetre into the skin. And of course, it's in terms of medical exposures, we have to adapt, we have to adjust our beam intensity in relation to patient body size and of course the type of thing that you're trying to get through, such as like for example, if you are of an enhanced body habit, if you're slightly on the larger side, you will absorb more radiation through the fat tissues than what a slim person will.
Yeah.
Now, how does the operator, how does the machine know the size of the person that's stepping into that machine? So therefore, all I can assume is that do they have a set uniform dose, so whereby everyone's given the maximum possible? So everyone's assumed to be on the larger side when a child steps in there, so the child's receiving the same amount of beam intensity and the same amount of radiation as an adult.
Right.
Because there's no other way of how these machines, or they don't give us any idea of how this machine is calibrated.
Well, of course, that's, you know, that's extremely disturbing. It really sounds like in the context of a hospital, you've got all these safeguards, which are the product of decades, generations of work with these machines, which we know are inherently very dangerous. So you've built all these safeguards around them. And of course, now we're just taking the raw technology and putting it into a situation where it seems like most of the safeguards are being taken away.
Yeah, well, that's exactly it. We don't know what the safeguards are.
Because yeah, we don't really know. Yes, indeed.
And certainly in terms of the reports that have been released, they don't give any details of what the safeguards are. All we are told by the manufacturer of these scanners is that they have a strict cutoff point whereby if it tries to exceed a certain exposure, the machine will stop working. Who's there to stop the machine working? Who's got the training? Who knows about it? It's too much of a grey area to see it. Oh, well, they'll just stop.
And of course, there is always the possibility of a malfunction. I've got a worst case failure scenario here that was outlined in the same letter. It says here, one of the most important issues is a worst case failure. Because these machines are scanning mechanical software integrated devices with very intense pencil-like beams of X-rays, if they were to stop in the middle of a scan, there is the significant probability of a radiation burn. What are the consequences if there were a software glitch or power or even momentary problems? Now, of course, you're saying that they say that there are safeguards to prevent that. But then, of course, what if that malfunctions? I mean, of course, you can always say there are safeguards. But then if you don't have, I guess, that team of experts constantly monitoring and checking and doctors on hand as well, you really are putting yourself at a huge risk, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, certainly the potential of it ever failing, nobody knows.
Yeah.
But the thing is, with this type of technology, with this type of machine, you won't know it's failed until the person's already been scanned.
Right. So the damage will be done.
It's as simple as that. It's like, for example, if it's the exact same in any case setting, even in the hospital, if something goes wrong with a particular piece of equipment, say, for example, if one of the automatic exposure devices that detects the amount of radiation malfunctions while a patient's on the table, you don't know about that until the exposure button's already been pushed. The same would apply with these scanners. You wouldn't know that a malfunction's occurred until the person, until the malfunctions actually happened to the person. So it would be too little too late, unfortunately.
And of course, if a person did receive a larger than normal radiation dose, they might not even be aware of it. They might not get a burn, but they might develop cancer at some point, and that could be years later. So the danger of what could occur is really scary, because you will never really know. And I think that is why there are such tight safeguards on the use of x-rays, isn't it? Because we're dealing with dangerous forces here. We're dealing with forces that have to that have implications which are so severe for human health that is why the doctors in the letter I just quoted there are saying we really need to reconsider the whole concept of using such devices in an airport. But of course, continue. Yeah.
That's exactly the thing. That's the whole thing of how stochastic effect work.
Yeah.
Is any exposure to ionizing radiation, no matter how small, has the risk of damaging sort of like DNA cells, and the majority of it does lead towards sort of like the cancer element, is what people always see as. Now, those stochastic effects don't happen immediately, like you say.
Yes.
Those stochastic effects can occur 10, 15, 25 years down the line. Now, if that does occur, the individual has no legal standpoint and cannot prove that they have no way of proving
yes.
that cancer was a result of that body scan that they had 10, 15 years ago. They never will be able to prove it. That's the whole point of the thing. So in a way, yes, they contain risks, but the individual will never ever know if they contract cancer, if that was a result of a body scan, an x-ray at the hospital. They'll never know.
It just puts the general public in a horrible position, doesn't it? And, you know, yeah. I can tell you, living in a country like Australia, where the only way to get out of the country is by plane, I'll get into the what's actually happening in Australia in a bit, but the idea that those machines would be forced to go through those machines here would be, you know, well, there's really no other option. And especially when they say there is no opt-out. And as I understand it, the machines that were set up in Manchester during the trial there, that you were given no opt-out as well. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, the machines in Manchester, they did say that you give you the opt-out. They say if you don't go through them, then you don't fly.
That oh, right, just opt-out. Cancel your holiday.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that is your opt-out. That's what they said. So they do say that they do give you an opt-out, but...
Yeah, just totally ruin your plans. Yeah.
You do not continue on with your journey. Now, in this day and age, I mean, don't get me wrong, they are right in what they say is in the level of cosmic radiation that you receive flying is slightly higher than the result of this scan. But that, in my perspective, that is a risk that I'm aware of, and that's a risk that I'm willing to accept.
Absolutely.
To say that they're bringing in these scanners to give me extra radiation,
yeah,
that's something that's man-made. That's a risk that I'm not willing to accept, because it's extra, it's man-made, it's something that can potentially be avoided.
And of course,
to take that freedom from you is wrong.
And of course, you have to trust that everything that they say about the way the machines work is correct, and that they have not failed in any important way in terms of the way the machines were constructed. And yet the researchers from Johns Hopkins University were not given access to key data, and I'll get back into that in the next section, key pieces of information about the energy levels were redacted from the manufacturer's information that was supplied to the researchers. With Truth News Radio Australia, we're talking about body scanners, and please stay with us. Don't take your hand off the dial. We'll be right back. Thank you.
The man who stole the water will swim forevermore, but he'll never reach the land on that golden shore. That faint white light will haunt his heart till he's old.
Welcome back, you're listening to Truth News. I'm talking about body scanners. I'm trying to get into the really important detail here about the X-ray backscatters. I do want to get into some of the other technologies that are being rolled out, particularly the ones that are being rolled out in Australia. Anthony, I have just another point here to make about the safety of these machines from this letter. Because it says here that the Johns Hopkins report is heavily redacted with red stamps over words and figures. In every case, the electric current used, which correlates one-to-one with X-ray dose, has been specifically redacted. There is no way to repeat any of these measurements. I mean, how confident can we be about their statements of safety with this type of thing going on in the actual way the reports are being done?
That's it. We can't be confident at all. Until the producers of these scanners actually give the scientific community full 100% access to all their data, all their findings, everything that they've done in relation to these machines, all the safety equipment that they say that they've implemented, then we can never be confident. Sadly, the company is very well protected in terms of that the pattern of the design is well protected, so therefore they are allowed to withhold information in relation to these body scanners, and they can pick and choose what bits of information that they actually allow people to see. So until someone comes along and says, okay, here you go, here's 100% of all the information that you could ever possibly want, there is no confidence there whatsoever.
Well, Anthony, with that level of deception and obfuscation going on, the problem that I've got is that I cannot, as a layperson, now feel that I can trust what these type of government-sanctioned reports are telling me about safety. This is the way I feel about it, and it's the way a lot of people feel about it. We feel that we've just been led up the garden path, and this now leads us to be extremely suspicious about all forms of body scanners. Now, I know you've said that you think that the, for example, the millimeter wave scanners are relatively safe. But if you can see it from our point of view, we've been told that these machines are totally safe, right? And
yes.
And we don't feel we've got the right information. So now in Australia, they are planning to roll out the millimeter wave scanner, and they're going to go into all international airports. They've already bought the machines. They're going to go into use in July this year, I believe, and there will be no opt-out. Now, what I'd like to know from your point of view, first of all, is what you know about that technology and why you think it is safe or not. I read some of your comments, I think, online somewhere that you said that this was a far better alternative, but I still feel incredibly uncomfortable about it.
Yeah. In terms of, millimeter wave isn't my area whatsoever, but I do know that there's two types of millimeter wave scanners. There's the active scanners, which fire low beam terahertz, basically it's terahertz, that the fire low beam, a bit like radio waves or a mobile phone signal,
okay,
towards the person. And then what the beam that is reflected back, it's that what they pick up a reading on to check for concealment.
Okay.
Now, the other type of millimeter wave scanner, the passive millimeter wave scanner, doesn't do anything. It just picks up a bit like your own person's aura. It picks up the millimeter waves that you emit yourself.
Yes, that's what they call passive. So there's no radiation at all.
So there's no radiation whatsoever. Yeah. And basically, they pick up objects on the body, because if you're concealing anything on your body, then it would pick up that the signal's being blocked, so that would be highlighted as an area of concern.
Now, as I understand it, the passive radiation scanners are not in commercial production at present. I'm pretty sure they're not the ones that are being brought in here. I think the ones that are being brought in here are similar to the ones that were trialed in Germany. And the trials in Germany of these machines found that they were actually incredibly ineffective. Have you looked into that at all? Because it turns out that the millimeter wave scanners will actually identify like patches of perspiration as if they were objects.
Yeah, that's correct. The thing is with millimeter wave scanners is they do have a higher false positive reading. And that's basically because the technology that they use, the millimeter waves, are blocked by things like water and things like that. So liquids and things like that block them, and sweat patches, things like that. If a person's coming out the rain and just being scanned, it would bring up a false positive because the beam can't actually get through.
Right, right.
So that's why they're deemed ineffective, because they have a higher false positive rating.
And, of course, it's been demonstrated that all forms of scanners have vulnerabilities in terms of where you place an object. And I'm sure you're aware of that that viral video that came out a while ago from the US where I think his name's Jonathan Corbett demonstrated that you could put an object on your side and it would actually be invisible to the scanners.
Yeah, it's basically, because we've only got, it would be harder to spot, because you've got basically a two-dimensional image of a three-dimensional object, and it goes front and back.
Right, right.
So there's no lateral projection as such, if you wish. There's no sideways projection to check the sides, which is why some of the millimeter wave scanners actually do a rotation around the body.
Ah, right. Yeah, trying to
to bring in sort of like the lateral aspect. But it's certainly in terms of, there's nothing, the things that we'll have to remember is there's nothing that these body scanners, so there's nothing that this radiation body scanner can pick up that a hand pat down or an alternative method wouldn't also pick up.
Yeah, and they're incredibly expensive machines, aren't they? I mean, it's a major investment that is made.
And that's another reason why they're rolling them out, because in the long run, it would actually work out cheaper, wouldn't it? Everything. Mm. I think the Manchester Airport spent £1.24 million on these machines. And now, of course, they don't need the same level of security staff as they did in order for the pat downs to happen and things like that. So in a sense, it's a way of replacing jobs with machinery in a sense of a way,
although
because it's a faster throughput, it works out cheaper for the airline to have them than not have them.
I guess, although in the US, having travelled through the US last year, I was absolutely staggered by the number of TSA employees. I mean, it seemed like there were just giant groups of them everywhere in every airport, and it seemed like most of them had nothing to do. But I don't know why that is. If the machines, you know, can replace a person. It just seemed like it seems to me, Anthony, that there's just been this mushrooming of an economy around the security threat, which then justifies all forms of expenditure. And basically that can go into the buying of machines. It can go into hiring excess security staff and all of the other pat downs and paraphernalia and theater of security. And, you know, we could talk all day about the question of whether you can ever really make someone safe, you know, whether you can ever really stop that one in a million terrorist attack that would, if the guy couldn't get on the plane, he could blow himself up in the queue going into the scanner and kill 500 people that way. But I just want to stay on the safety question again. And I just want to talk a little bit about the millimeter wave, because theoretically, it's not X-ray radiation, so we don't have to worry about those stochastic effects. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah.
But it is radiation. And now we still have the question of the machine malfunctioning. I mean, microwaves can cook you. So you can cook your meal with microwaves. The machine that uses a wavelength in the range of microwaves, is there not the potential for the machines to malfunction, similar to what we were talking about with the other machines, in such a way that the microwave could suddenly dose you up? I mean, could suddenly increase its intensity? I mean, I know it's a wildly speculative question. I'm not asking you to give a definitive answer, but I mean, from the point of view of someone who has to potentially go through these things, knowing all of these uncertainties, I mean, it just feels outrageous that we're being subjected to this.
Yeah, I mean, it's in terms of safety, I can understand where the general public lie in terms of, well, how do I know that stepping into this machine is going to actually be safe for any individual? And all you can do is go for it and make an informed choice, really.
Yeah, and of course you need to have that choice. Yeah, you need to definitely.
And that's the thing that we're not being given, is it? You're not being given an informed choice of.
Indeed.
By yourself, you're actually just being forced to comply with whatever rules or regulations they deem fit that you must follow.
Indeed. And, you know, in regard to the safety issue again, I've got a friend who has a pacemaker, and he's been told by his doctor not to go through any body scanner. And he's got a card that will exempt him. So if they are so safe, why is it that someone with a pacemaker is exempt? That doesn't make any sense to me if they're totally safe. We'll be right back after this break with Truth News.
Sick of the lies, deception, spin and half-truths? Well, so are we. You're listening to Truth News Radio Australia. Tune in every week at truthnews.com.au or subscribe to the podcast with iTunes or your favourite podcatcher.
With Truth News Radio Australia. I'm talking to Anthony Hall, senior reporting radiographer and a fierce critic of body scanners. Someone who believes that we should have a choice, that we shouldn't simply be herded into a machine that we don't fully understand, that may have flaws, that may have threats, that are not admitted by the manufacturer to our health. Now, there's one more topic I want to address in this interview, Anthony, and this is the issue of privacy concerns, because the new generation of scanners that have now come out have been fitted with a system that they say protects the privacy of passengers by generating what is called a stick figure version of the passenger. So the security personnel do not see your full 3D pornographic image as they did in the past. They only see a stylized version of the body with marks indicating where there might be an object if the machine detects that. And as I understand it, that is done through a combination of software and some form of artificial intelligence, some form of computer mediated analysis of the data that comes from the machines. Now, my concern about that the whole time, and you're the first technical person I've had a chance to talk to about this, is as follows. We know that the machine still functions the same way it did. In other words, it is still taking an image just the way it did before. So all that part of the process hasn't changed. That image must be stored somewhere even if just temporarily, in order to be processed. But what we are now being led to believe, and this is really mainly coming through the media, so it's not verifiable and it's not, you know, no one's sort of guaranteeing this to us. But what the media is telling us is that these machines now, you know, they don't save the image, the operator only sees that stick figure, and your privacy is totally safe. But how do I know, Anthony, that the machine is not still saving that image on a hard drive somewhere? And from a common sense perspective, I can't believe that it's not. I just can't believe that it's not being saved, because that's valid and important forensic information. And, you know, these people are in, you know, in part of law enforcement. So if an image was detected that detailed something that was illicit, it could even be not necessarily a bomb, it could be drugs or whatever, you know, because these things do pick up all kinds of stuff. That would be important evidence. Would they really throw that away? I know this is speculative, but I mean, what do you think about that?
The thing is about the stick figure technology, the stick figure programming that they use.
Yeah.
Is any computer program tell you that that raw data must still exist in order to come up with the stick image?
Yes.
Now, originally, I actually had a one-to-one meeting with some officials of Manchester Airport, and they were like, that's another image can't be saved, it's deleted, and blah, blah, blah. And
yeah.
Then 30,000 images got leaked on the internet of people who had gone through the body scanners to prove that actually the images can be saved. I think in terms of where it comes from, is all we have to rely on is that the airports who are using the scanners do not save the images.
Yeah, so we've got to trust them that they...
Exactly.
That,
exactly. Yeah.
And of course, the problem has always been that, you know, this relies on thousands of individuals all behaving with integrity. And in the US, it's millions. I mean, the TSA employs so many people. And so many of them have been found to be engaging in illicit activities, criminal activities. There are TSA agents who've written dirty messages to people and stuck them in their bags. You know, there are TSA agents who have forced women to go through three times so they can get a good look. I mean, you know, and that's all documented. I mean, you know, it's all out there. There's no doubt about it that this is occurring. And yet we have to now just trust the integrity of all these people, including the airports, including the employees, and believe that when they say that there is only this stylized stick figure, that detailed image isn't being saved. I feel like I'm being insulted when I'm told that.
Yeah, certainly, as I understand the technology, is the raw data is there, and it would be up to the individual airports to ensure that they have procedures in place whereby it wouldn't be saved.
Absolutely.
So I don't see how the image can be deleted or would be deleted.
Yeah.
If the airport wished it wouldn't be, then I think it wouldn't be. Simple as that.
Yeah.
All the data, like you say, the technology hasn't changed. The computer doesn't just read, you're not a stick figure.
Yes.
So at the end of the day, that the raw data of the images must still be electronically viable somewhere in the pipelines.
Absolutely. So, Anthony, have you travelled again recently? Have you been through the scans? I know you went through them last year. Have you been through again?
I went to the airport on holiday on the premise that I would be pulled out and scanned.
Yes.
Wearing radiation dose monitors.
I went with a
t-shirt on saying how they were banned in the UK, in the EU, but not the UK.
Yes.
And I went to go through the metal detectors my assumption would be that I would be picked up.
Yeah.
And scanned, because there, if you set off the metal detectors, you're scanned. I knew that.
Yes.
So I went with my belt on, t-shirt on.
Yes.
Coins in my pocket. I had my radiation dose badge. Like, I had one on my chest, a couple around my belt loop. And they said, have you got any metal? No. Lied to get through them.
Yeah.
And then I had a security escort following us around for the t-shirt anyway. But then when I went to go through the metal detectors, it didn't go off.
Incredible.
So they didn't scan us. And I was gutted because I really wanted...
That is a shame.
I just wanted, yes, I know it's like a slight stupid risk, but I really wanted to know the level of radiation that would have been picked up.
Well, that would have been
on the dose badges had it been selected, but it didn't even set off the metal detector, funny enough, and it contains a lot of different metals.
That would have been extremely valuable. But look, they probably saw you coming. I mean, you've been in the media a bit. You wrote an article. Maybe they knew who you were. I don't know. Although maybe this is just an indication of how sloppy the whole system is as well. I mean, we could look at it that way too. I mean, if you could walk through without even being detected, it's just another indication of the fact that these security procedures are incredibly sloppy. I mean, we're not being made safer. I mean, I think that's really just an important point to highlight. I mean, do you feel that any of this is really realistically making us safer?
No, I think it's all smoke and mirrors, as the saying goes. It's not making us any safer whatsoever. It's just, in my eyes, it's just something that they're putting out there to try and fool the general population into believing they are safe.
Yeah,
and it's not any safe. We're no safer now flying than what we were 5 years ago, 10 years ago, or even before 9/11, which is obviously how all this came about and things like that. We're no safer now than what we were then. And it's just, like I say, in my eyes, it's all smoke and mirrors.
Yeah, and I mean, there are so many different ways that you might smuggle a bomb onto a plane. Of course, you could put it right inside a body cavity. You don't have to blow up planes either. If you really want to cause havoc, you can do it in the departure area, or you don't even have to do it at an airport. But of course, that reminds me, you guys are going to be irradiated at the Olympics in London. Is that correct? That they've actually set up body scanners at the Olympic Games?
Yes, but there was talk of it being backscatter scanners.
Right.
I now believe that they are going to use millimeter wave scanners.
Oh, okay. The kind of version.
The in quotation marks, safer alternative. But again, whether they are passive or active scanners, I've not been privy to that information yet. No doubt they're going to be the active scanners. And I think there as well, it's a case of if you don't want to go through them, if you don't want to go through the body scanners, then you won't get to see what you've paid to see.
Yeah, you'll just have to have your whole plans ruined and your money lost and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
In the terms of what they've said is they've said that when you've signed up for the ticket, you've agreed to adhere to any security that they deem fit. So they can just, so if you've travelled from Australia to see your team compete, and you refuse to go through them, then you've wasted a 24-hour flight. It's ridiculous.
It's over. Stupid. Now, since that report came out, has there been any statement about plans now to roll out the machines? I mean, I did some searching and I can't find anything about it since that report came out. What's your take on that?
I've been in regular contact with the Department for Transport, which is the guys here who are responsible for that.
Yeah.
And they're keeping very hush-hush about me. They're not saying one, what type of scanners they're planning on rolling out or when they're planning on giving the airport a go-ahead to roll them out. But I suggested that, why don't you wait till the Olympics are over and the scanners that they've used for that, why don't you give them to the airports?
Mm.
Like I say, it's something that they're keeping very hush-hush at the minute. They're not giving any information away in terms of what the rollout plan is.
Yeah, it'll probably just be announced and it'll all just happen as it does, magically. And, one day you'll just find they're all in the airports and that's it. You know, and that's what's actually about to happen here in Australia. And I'm pretty upset about it. And I've started a website called wewillnotbescanned.org. I encourage listeners to have a look at that. Yourself, Anthony, if you would like to contribute to that, send me anything and I'll post it on there. It's a resource. We're running to the end of the hour now. Thank you so much for coming on today, Anthony.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Great. And we'll be following this. Please stay tuned with Truth News. We'll be back next week. Thanks very much, Anthony. See you next week.
No problem. Take care. Bye-bye.
Cheers. Thanks.